Ventures and Adventures in Topography.
Essentially, topography is really nothing more than the detailed study of place, an area or region or town, etc.
A show that takes the listener on a wayward topographical ramble around the margins of London.
The walker at the edges of the city, the liminal figure who is not so conceptual in his practice.
Drawing on a rich tradition of old walking guides, maps, literature and ephemera, Nick Papadimitriou and John Rogers embark on a series of suburban perambulations and outer circle rambles.
I like those pre-moulded concrete pails that run along the river here, with the mosses and lichens growing on them. For me, such things are psychedelic.
Welcome to Ventures and Adventures in Topography on Resonance 104.4 FM with me, John Rogers, and my co-host, Nick Papadimitriou. And this week, in a relative change to normal circumstances, we're going to be bringing you the entire show from Leighton and Leightonstone. Here we are, hunched up in a box room in my house in Leightonstone, not far from the banks of the submerged Philibrook, with Nick sitting dangerously close to me. Nick, how are you finding this renewed studio environment?
I'm finding it very intense and claustrophobic, Mr. Rogers, or Johnny, as you're known to the members of the Leightonstone Local History Society.
Is that your opinion of Leightonstone generally, or just this particular sort of experience of Leightonstone recording this radio show?
Well, I must admit, until our recent foray following the Philibrook, I tended to dismiss Leightonstone as a bit of a dump. But I was very impressed with the landscape, with its hilliness and with its beautiful Victorian houses. So I'm a Leightonstone convert.
Ah, that's what we like to hear. And that is a feature of Leightonstone, actually, is a great sense of civic pride amongst the people that live here, which I think possibly came through on the day that we set off to follow the course of the submerged stream, brook, of the Philibrook, from Whips Cross Hospital, or near Whips Cross Hospital, through to where it ends, dropping into the Mill Stream, and then into the River Lee, which we did in the company for part of the way with a local historian, David Boot. But there'll be more of that later about that day, unless you want to add anything to that now, Nick?
I was very happy on the occasion of following the Philibrook to draw on my expertise with rivers. If anyone wants to look up my River Run Barnet section on my Middlesex County Council website, they'll see what I'm talking about.
That was a recurring theme of the day, which I did actually edit out of the field recordings.
That's why I've just inserted it.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers. Right. I did jibe you rather too much. Nick did not miss a single opportunity to refer to his river study on the other side of London. But although I did jibe him for it at the time, I suppose there is a similarity. There are parallels. One thing, I suppose, when looking for parallels in the study of streams and submerged watercourses, is I like this idea I heard recently from an artist cooperative in London. I think they're called Platform. I probably should have looked that up before coming on air. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's because this is a relaxed environment of my study that I didn't do the proper research. But they used to run workshops where they would encourage people to see where they live as not being part of a borough, but as being part of a watershed.
That's very interesting. There's similar ideas in bioregionalism, one of the challenges to global corporate takeover, the suggestion that certain regions should define themselves in terms of watersheds and should become self-sustaining insofar as they can. I read lots of books about that sort of thing a few years ago when I was involved in the genetic modification debate. I read dozens of books on the subject and didn't really understand any of them, but it kind of fed into my interest in topography. So there.
So in terms of justifying why Leightonstone is worthy of a whole episode of Ventures and Adventures in Topography, I would just like to refer to a quote from a film by Leightonstone filmmaker Ian Bourne, And the film's called Lenny's Documentary. And I saw this film not long after I'd moved to Leytonstone and was researching films of the area. And this is how the character in Lenny's Documentary describes Leytonstone. Geographically, Leytonstone is just a case of in one end and out the other. It's not the end of the road like Whitechapel, nor is it the beginning of the end like Southgate. Leytonstone, if it's like anything, it is the urethra of London.
I wish I could write like that.
Well, Ian Bourne, who wrote that, lives but yards from where we are sitting now. And also, but yards from where we are sitting now, is we would have been submerged under the River Lee were we sat here, I don't know, about 20,000, 30,000 years ago at the time of the Great Rivers. And here is a reading by Hayley Le Pain from Weston's The Story of Leyton, describing what the area looked like at that time.
Chapter 1, The Time of the Great Rivers. Standing on the railway bridge at Leyton Station, we can often, on clear days, see the dome of St Paul's Cathedral rising above the smoke of London. Nearer at hand and somewhat to the right, we see a long bank of rising ground stretching from Victoria Park through Homerton, Hackney and Clapton to Stamford Hill in the distance. This ridge bounds the valley of the Lee on the west, just as the more gradual slope upon which Leyton is built bounds the valley on the east. When man first lived in our district, all the parts over which we have been gazing were covered by the waters of a wide, rushing river. The site of the railway bridge was, in those days, covered by water, and man, had he found himself in that position, would assuredly have had to swim for his life against the swirling and often ice-cold waters of a mighty river. Had he succeeded in getting ashore, he would have reached dry land somewhere about the spot where Francis Road now meets Grove Green Road. From the bank of the river, the swimmer would have seen before him a broad sheet of eddying water stretching right across to the low ridge upon which Hackney and Clapton now stand. This mighty river was the ancient Lee, in comparison with which the present stream is but a puny rivulet. From The Story of Leyton and Leytonstone by W. H. Weston.
So that was a reading by Hayley Le Pain from The Story of Leyton with music by Europa 51. Well, I think now is the right time to take you on a walk to find the source of the Philibrook. The backstory to this part of the walk is that I decided to do some proper topographical research and I went to the Vestry House Museum. I'd like to thank the staff of the Vestry House Museum for their help and thought I'd come up with a great new angle on where the Philibrook actually rises, which is not where I'd traditionally read where it's believed to rise. And so I met Nick at Leyton Midland Road Station and then we headed off up to find what I thought was going to be the new source of the Philibrook. And Nick very gamely went along with me. So here we are with that film recording from the other Saturday. So we're going to go along Wood Street now. And the stream allegedly rises near Wood Street Station. That's what I mean. We don't actually have a specific point for where the stream rises. So all I know is it's near Wood Street Station, and I have to confess to you now, I'm not entirely sure where Wood Street Station is. I've assumed it's somewhere near Wood Street.
Well, is there still a Wood Street Station? Or?
Yep, yeah, there's definitely still a, it's an overland. Mm-hmm. Overland station.
John. John.
Yes, Nick.
An alleyway.
There's an alleyway.
An alleyway in a water plate.
And?
Could be a sewer or a stormwater course, or it could be something that feeds into the stream eventually. Let's have a look.
Nick is risking life and limb to check. This is so dedicated. No, it's a... I just nearly lost Nick on Wood Street. No way. It's...
But
you get...
Walk up here.
We can, because I think it leads to Wood Street Station.
trying to work out the lay of the land here. Because we're on a convex slope, which I don't usually associate with streams. I usually associate concave slopes with sort of like gullies, rather like you can see over there in at the edge of the field here. We're looking across some kind of sports field.
Yeah, it's a lovely sports field actually. It's been marked out at the moment by the groundsman. Marking it out probably for a match this afternoon. Even.
But you can see the land drops down to the margins there, and then it looks like it rises slightly looking at the roofs of the houses. I don't know if that's an old field ditch running down there. Maybe it's even quite an old hedgerow.
So, yeah, you're right in the corner. It really does drop away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is actually towards Wood Street, Wood Street Station.
Ah, there you go.
Why have you come into this sort of mud car park off Wood Street, Nick?
It's just a sort of like little bit of urban wasteland with lots of Japanese knotweed and
There's a footpath.
Stuff. Yeah, that's what I was drawing. Look, this is a sort of avenue, you see.
I know that the footpath does go round, actually.
And I wonder if it extends further over. It looks like it does. This could be a sewer or the river course, possibly.
So do you think when we start following the course of the stream that we're going to find that a lot of it isn't built on?
Yeah, invariably. And we've now come through a little gap between some houses, and we're now crossing a road called, don't know what it's called, and by a school or something.
Well, it's by the cricket club, by Walthamstow Cricket Club and Tennis Club.
And we're now... So could this be the other side of that sports field we were looking at?
I was thinking it probably is.
Yeah, so there you go.
Should we go up here, eh? Nick feels very proud of himself now because
I'm the river man,
making that identification with the low-lying
Nick
corner.
Drake wrote a song about me.
What's it called?
River Man. You were telling us there's a ditch runs down here.
Yeah. I've looked at old maps and it don't show the ditch. We've got manholes up there that were repaired a short while ago because it used to be flooded here, and it's. We know there's an underground stream because I had a tree pulled up and there's all water running under here.
Do you know the name of it?
Don't.
The stream.
So you say you know the Philip Brook?
Yeah, I used to live that way in Leytonstone.
Oh, okay.
I know a bit about that area where the Philip Brook runs.
What did you know about the Philip Brook? Because we're trying to find...
Oh, haven't you found it?
Well, we think we have, but, you know, it's not...
Well, there's a road called Philip Brook Road.
Philip Brook Road.
I think you'll find it... Runs under there,
and yeah. Newport Road is.
Yeah, that's where the school. Yeah, I didn't think it ran as far as that, but I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Not sure. I don't know any more than that, really. I used to have old Burley Road.
Right.
That's off Leytonstone High Road.
Yeah.
I used to have a friend there, and the houses there often got flooded, and they said it was from the Philip Brook.
Oh, that's interesting.
She had her husband built a special pump. So that if the water rose to a sudden height, it'd start pumping the water out. But she said it was a known fact that if you lived in that area, you were going to have the cellar filled with water sometime or other. And they reckon that was from the Philip Brook.
From the Philip, that's Burley Road.
Yeah, that more or less meets into Philip Brook Road eventually, where you've got the station in between.
That's right.
Philip Brook Road's the other side, isn't it?
It's the other side, because it's changed now because of the link road.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's about all I know from that area. But I know they had a basement there and that used to get often flooded.
That's
so
brilliant.
The Philip Brook's around there. So, I wish you the best of luck.
The Philip Brook lives.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I think that's the source of the Philip Brook we found there, or at least one source.
Where?
Further down this avenue.
You think it's at the bottom of this?
Yards. Well, here where we are about 100 yards further up, if you notice the ground is far more gravelly, which would suggest a gravel cap on top of a mound of London clay. And it's possible that the water percolates down and used to squirt out, and apparently still does to some extent, further down there where the gravel cap ends and the water hits the London clay and comes out the side.
Can you find where we are on the map? On the map, yeah. Where are we? Walthamstow, Upper Walthamstow. We are Wood Street. We're about here.
St Peter's Church, I think.
It's through here somewhere. We're on this slip of land here somewhere.
Oh. That might be a completely different... Where's that?
Now, the Eagle Pond there, you know what I think it might be? Is that's where somebody reckons the River Holt rises.
Mm-hmm.
At the Eagle Pond.
So can you find that? Look, that's the avenue we've just come up, I presume. Yeah, look, there it is. That's the avenue we've just come up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't reckon that is the Philibrook we've just been following, because I noticed on a really old map that there's a stream going in that direction as well. I can show you, in fact.
Okay, interesting.
That's interesting, isn't it? So we might have inadvertently stumbled across the upper length of another stream. Okay. I think that was quite a good experience, that, though, because although it wasn't the Philibrook, it was another stream. And
what was interesting is, through following that and thinking that we found somebody who knew about the Philibrook and who could tell us, you know, about basements that he knew that were flooded and friends that had experiences of it. It's sort of like one river led us to
another,
a source of another.
So, I'm going to stop referring to Nick as Nick anymore, and I think I'll just have to call you the River Man now, Nick, from now on.
Yeah, Nick Drake actually wrote a song about me called The River Man. I think it's on his second album.
We just heard you saying that. I think people can make their own minds up about that.
One thing I have to say here is that I've always found studying river courses is a really good way of decodifying an area of town and opening up the geological underpinning, so that you move away from shops and you move away from bus routes and cars and you move into the deeper and older story of the land, because the study of the rivers really shows the you know the firm soil and stolid earth foundation of the place where you live. And I find it a kind of psychedelic experience. It opens up my mind and makes me far more aware and appreciative of where I live.
I'd say as well, that's where your practice, deep topography, differs from psychogeography in a way, because it is a lot more to do with the infrastructure of the city and the natural infrastructure of the city, rather than maybe looking at all the kind of cultural associations that might come along the course of the river. I mean, you're actually interested in the water course itself and in the geology and the shape of the land, aren't you? And I think that really became apparent that day in how your study has reached the point now where you could find, you know, you could quite accurately find that.
I love the way that an ostensibly minuscule stream has to be accommodated. You might be able to straighten it and conduit it. You can certainly cover it over so that nobody knows it's there. But you still have to have, like, alleyways and little, and perhaps sections of footpath in parks with the stream running underneath. And you can't build on it, pretty much. We usually find the streams through the lowest point of a road with gaps in the houses on either side. You know, this tiny little stream still has to be accommodated. And in a way, one can almost hope that it'll still be there when everything else has crumbled and we've all turned to dust.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm sure it will. The stream will flow on. And like you said, actually, I think on the days, water always has to find a way.
Oh, yeah.
You can't stop water. As we will discover later on in the second field recording, because after we'd realised that, you know, that wasn't the source of the Philibrook, and the Philibrook probably did rise where people have long said it rose, even going back to the days when it was apparent on the landscape, we then continued the walk along the traditional route of the Philibrook, and we met up with the chair or the secretary of the Leighton and Leytonstone Historical Society, David Boot, who, funnily enough, was at the Vestry House the day I went to do the research. David was there doing his own researches.
Coincidence.
He wasn't researching.
No coincidence.
He was researching something. I think he's quite au fait with the course of the river, as was apparent. It was a great meeting of what we do and our practice, whatever you want to call that, even if it isn't a practice, you know, deep topography, psychogeography, and more traditional local history. So here we are continuing that walk now on the course of the Philibrook and joining up with David Boot.
So we're just near Epping Forest, right on the edge of the forest. And there's the hollow ponds just over the road. This would be a fairly obvious place for a spring to come up, wouldn't it?
Yeah, ponds and lakes are often at the top of watersheds, and it's an attempt to kind of like accumulate water prior to it being sort of like defecated in by cattle or washed in by sort of laundry women, and you know what all the other hoi plebs did. What's the listener going to make of any of this? It's just going to be a sort of phantasmagoria of names and alleyways and
right.
You and me scratching our heads and not sort of figuring out where the hell we are.
At least we're scratching our heads. So Nick, I think this is roughly where you'd have it. This is roughly where it would rise, I think. Around here somewhere.
This might be where it was beginning to have to be accommodated.
Shame we've got to go and meet David now, because we could have gone in there for a cup of tea in St Andrew's Church.
Oh, yes. How much do I use for that? Sorry?
£1.
£1, oh great.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Got a bit of Jamie Oliver on the go there.
And also in heavy rain on the corner of St Andrew's Road, that always flooded, didn't it? Yeah. There were kind of certain points that where the water seemed difficult to escape.
It's an interesting thing, because we're following it, you never see it.
No.
We're going to walk. There's a point where you can hear it. It's near where I live. You can hear it in south, not southwest. The one out of Drayton Road,
right.
Near the bottom of the Philibrook.
Yeah.
You can hear it underneath the manhole cover.
Oh.
And that's all
because
the time. It's not just when it rains.
There's a spring, something under this church at the moment. We've got some sort of action going with people who built the flats.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is water rising somewhere, and we think that the work that they have done has caused water to rise on our property, but they've blocked it off somewhere, and now we're getting it.
What, under the building?
Mm. Something's happening like that. So I guess, and there's lots of springs around here, because you know the Woods Cross Lakes?
Yeah.
Well, those are man-made, but from natural springs, they were doing, it was just after the First World War they were dug, or before the war, around that time.
Yeah.
To create employment, and they just dug the lakes out, and they're filled with natural springs. We've got natural springs in this area, quite a lot of them.
It's quite funny that we're now only now really starting to follow the stream, and yet we've been walking for 2.5 hours.
But it's been good.
It's been great.
It's been good. We've, you know, it's determined quite a lot.
Ah, and here we are. Here's David. So, David, do you think we're actually walking over the stream now?
I think so. Somebody had walked this route before. I reckon the stream veered off to the left, beyond that horrible concrete fence and through some 30s flats.
Right.
We're pretty close.
What do you think, Nick? We've lost Nick. Nick's jumped up onto a wall to look over the back fences of these guys.
This could be a sewer that's running parallel with the stream.
That's true.
I suspect it's here, but it doesn't look like there's a drop on the other side particularly, or a channel. Although the back gardens look like they're at a lower level than this path.
Yes, I think that's probably what she had in mind.
And it's possible that it's closer to the wall and I can't see it from this perspective.
Ah, there's another one, okay.
Can we get a recording?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the last bit where we're sort of looking for the stream, isn't it?
The last bit, you've hardly started, Jack.
Because after this, surely after this, we go just plough on down Newport Road. No?
I suppose you could. It is a straight line. Yes. It's the last opportunity to wander off and discuss the minimum length.
It is just a metaphor, isn't it? The stream, for the stream of existence. The stream of Nick's drug-addled consciousness.
And you say I'm pretentious citing the Heidegger.
You were pretentious citing the Heidegger.
What interests me about the buried streams, and I said this earlier, is that they, you know, we like to think we're Lord and everything, but we have to accommodate them. We can't make them go away. You know, we might be able to conduit them and direct them to some extent, but we can't make them go away. And, you know, the lifespan of the stream, if you like, is operating in a completely different time system to A, the sort of rigid structure of the suburb, and B, the ephemera of our kind of cultural life. So it's not exactly eternal, but in comparison to, say, you know, the waves of fashion and kind of political fashion and the rest of it, the streams seem to be relatively kind of timeless.
So you can see now, Nick, look, you look straight now across the Lea Valley from here, across the football pitches, mm-hmm. So across the road, and going back the other way, you can see how this is a clear line through to where we were earlier on.
So are we going to be able to get through here?
No, we have to go round it, don't we?
We have to go round.
But on the other side, there's access. I noticed there was a little quarter inch of stream coming out of the Dagenham Brook in this direction, and I thought it might be the tail end of the Filly Brook.
If we get a sight of some of this stream, that'd be a real thrill. So the Filly Brook would have met the Mill Stream or the Dagenham Brook somewhere down here, mm-hmm. right close to where we are.
I still maintain that's it on the map.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so right.
Certainly in line, isn't it?
It's going to be just down here then, if it's there, just over the other side of this road.
Well, I think it's there's a roundabout, which I think is roughly about this.
It's interesting, we set off today at midday, literally about a mile and a half, 2 miles away from where we are now. 6 hours it's taken us to get here.
Following, it was worth it though, wasn't it?
Following this little stream. This little underground stream. Finishing in the dark in the Lea Valley.
That huge shed, row of sheds, is the fruit and veg market moved out of Spitalfields.
Yeah.
And just the other side of that shed, running that same direction, is the Temple Mill Stream.
Yes, I can see it on the map, and there's a feed coming in, which is the end of the. So there's the roundabout where we are now. Oh, look! There's the roundabout where we are now.
Yep.
And there's a pond marked, and that must be that low-lying land we saw there. Or something.
Your map's very recent though, Nick. So if there was a pond, it would probably still be there. Your map's less than 15 years old, I would say.
Unless it's one of those marks that OS put on so that they can sort of spot people who nick their information.
Is that any good to you?
Yeah, thank you. See, here's the roundabout where we are now. Yeah. I think that's the roundabout we're on, is it not?
Yeah.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
And so the stream is just here. This road doesn't seem to be on the map that I can see, unless it's that white thing going out. So in fact, the stream's just here. According to this.
Nick's gone off now. Hopefully to try and impale himself on that fence. What have you seen, Nick?
Fetid watercourse. So that's the end of the... That must be the end of the Filly Brook. Have you got your torch?
Yeah.
See if we can get some light on it.
That would be amazing if it is.
There you go. That looks like the end of the Filly Brook. And then it's going to flow into the stream, which is just a little bit over there to the right, into the Dagenham.
Do you agree, David? That could be the end of the Filly Brook?
The only query in my mind is that I know when they built this road that we're by, a new road, they did create some settling ponds, which I think were supposed to deal with pollution from the road. There's another one near Asda. That looks fairly long term, doesn't it?
It certainly fits with the map.
Yeah,
it's in direct alignment.
Yeah.
So we feel like at the end of the walk, 6 hours later, to travel ridiculously short distance in 6 hours than we've seen the Philibrook. I think you can kind of, I think Nick can almost lay claim to that, David, can't he? Because do you know of anybody else that's claimed to have seen the Philibrook above ground?
I think you know Katie Andrews. I think she claims to know where the Philibrook comes out.
Really?
She has claimed that. I don't know where she meant. So,
right.
I can't say whether where she would have located such a thing.
Yeah. You feel quite pleased with yourself, Nick?
Yeah, I think it's been... we've worked together very well as a team. Yeah. We've got a local historian, a topographer, and a guy with a load of high-tech stuff and some humbugs.